warm welcome to the Blue Tune Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back on Saturday's trip to Kelty Hearts, preview the final game of the season against Falkirk, and we look at the 15 players out of contract in the summer and assess who should stay and who should go. Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Tune Podcast. I am Colin Byers, with me is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Hi, not too bad. It's the first of May already. We're
quickly coming to the end of the season. Just one game left. For what's been a chaotic, memorable season.
Chaotic's one way of putting it. Disastrous could be another.
Yeah, so the inevitable happened on Saturday. Try as we might try to avoid relegation, but relegation has happened, so we will be playing League Two next season. It was a bit of a kick in the teeth, considering how well we played on Saturday, and we'll come into it a bit more later. But I don't think we really deserved to lose that game on Saturday.
No, I don't think we deserve to lose it. I think performances, as we've said in recent weeks, have gotten better. It's probably just a wee bit too little too late. But I certainly think, you mentioned that a couple of weeks ago, I generally think the feeling around the club has certainly changed under Jordan and Ryan. I think under Davey, towards the end of his tenure, it was a wee bit hostile. You can tell by the comments throughout Twitter and Facebook and everything. Which, by all means, it's not the best barometer of gauging spectators' reaction, but it sort of gives you an idea of where things are at. And I think even when it was announced on Saturday officially that we were relegated, you can tell by the comment section as well that there was more positivity than there maybe had been had we been relegated under a different management team.
Yeah, we spoke about the sort of change in mentality for the supporters with the comments that were coming through, and that certainly still seems to be the case. A lot of folk are, in a strange way, looking forward to next season and looking forward to a positive year under Jordan and Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can all admit that Ryan and Jordan were dealt a really difficult hand when they came in. Believe it or not, they have steadied a team that was bereft of confidence, really lacking in performances, lacking in team cohesion. And they've started getting them playing, some decent stuff. Saturday was a prime example of that. So I think there is that feeling now that even though the League Two fit by next season, that there's definitely a platform to build on with these guys at the helm.
Right, so we'll come into the Saturday's game in a wee while. Lots of things to discuss this week. One thing I want to particularly discuss, and it's maybe not directly involving Peterhead, but I think it will maybe have long-term effects on it. The old B-team scenario has reared its ugly head again. Big thing that I'm massively against, these teams being sort of shoehorned into what will be a fifth tier. It will essentially relegate close to 200 teams that are already in the pyramid that was supposedly making it much easier to join or allow clubs to get promoted to the SPFL. It just seems to be that it is one hurdle after another for these clubs. What's your kind of take on what could potentially be happening for next season?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan of the Colts teams being divisions either. I think it's structured and shoehorned to suit certain teams within the game. I don't think that you can class, you said it's got to affect up to 200 clubs. There's massive stakes here, livelihoods, clubs can go to the wall. There are these implications that can happen. And yeah, just on the general face of it, we've seen there has been a few clubs more so over the weekend that have come out and said that they're not for it either. The SPFL I was going about how they listen to clubs and they want everybody's opinions on certain things. Well, now's the time, we'll see, because we are aware that there's a lot of clubs that have sort of said that they're not wanting this either.
I think one of the better or best statements that came out over the weekend was Musselburgh's, and I think their scenario was that they're trying to get sponsors and things like that to invest in the club for what could be like a 2-3-4 year plan. And then essentially what they're saying is, well, you could get win a league, get promoted, but still be in the same tier as you would be kind of now getting promoted. And it just seems just a stupid scenario. I mean, like Hearts B, for example, finished 13th in the Lowland League. But if this goes ahead, will then be above the other teams in the Lowland League. It doesn't really make any sense whatsoever. Essentially, what they're doing is just buying their way up the league, up the tiers.
Yeah. Effectively, that's what it comes down to. I don't see how a team that finishes 13th can then be almost a division higher next season just through a reconstruction. The health thing just. It's made to suit certain teams within the game, and I would not be surprised if it does get pushed through. If not this season, probably next season. I think we're at tilt that the Colts team or the beat would be a one-off, be a one-season thing. Well,
into a third or fourth season already.
Yeah. I think it's season three. Might even be season four, Colin. But yeah, I mean, so much for the one season, and that would be it. Mm-hmm. I think everybody knew that wouldn't be a one-season thing.
I don't get the argument as well that folk will say, oh, well, it'll be good for the Scottish game because it means that these young players are going to get game time and they're going to get men's football and all the rest of it. Sorry, but if these guys were good enough, they would be in Rangers first-team squad, Celtic first-team squad, Aberdeen first-team squad, etc., etc. If they were that good enough, they would be playing there anyway.
Yeah, I agree. And then where do you stop? So you've got your Colts, you then make a B team. At what point do we say in 5 years' time, oh, look, we've got a C team?
Yeah.
You know, where do you draw the line? For me, I'm against it.
I hope that most of the clubs will listen to their fans because, as we've seen already, clubs are putting out statements that have been well received by clubs. It was in the P&G, I think, over the weekend as well, that Aberdeen are considering it. However, there's been a bit of a backlash with a lot of their fans, a lot of the podcasts, the Aberdeen-based podcasts that have said that they don't want this. That might be enough for Aberdeen to kind of then reconsider, if that was the case that they were considering in the first place. So I'd hope as well that anybody at the Peterhead that are maybe considering this would take on board any fans' opinions in this. Obviously, we are just two guys' opinion, but we'd like to think that we can reflect the opinions of the supporters as well. If they agree with this or if they don't agree with this, that's the way we'd go. But at the moment, I would really hope that Peterhead as a club would reject this completely, because in the end, now that we are going to be in League Two, then there's a possibility that not only if we had a bad season next season, we could then be playing these B teams.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see other folks' comments, guys that are listening to this podcast, if they think of it as well. It'd be interesting to hear. I think, just touching on, you mentioned there about Aberdeen, they prided themselves on, when COVID first hit, about the food parcels and deliveries within the community, AFC Community Trust. You know, they did a lot of really good work within the community. I'll give them credit for that. But this is something that you've got to listen to supporters and what they want. I think clubs will make the right decision based on what their supporters feel and want. But do I trust the governing bodies to make the right decision based on the clubs? No, I don't. I think you could go to the board and say, right, there's 75% of clubs and I want it. But ultimately, if they're going to push it through, they're going to do it regardless. And that's where I think the problem will arise, where spectators and the punters will not want it, or they will want it. The clubs will back up what the supporters, majority of fan base, want. But I think it'll get pushed through regardless. I think the fact that they've maybe put it out to, clubs already and getting consultation, it sort of feels almost like, well, we're going to do it, but we're just wanting your backing. And that's generally how I feel. But for me, it's a no.
Let's cut to the chase. It's basically, it's two teams. We know who the two teams are that want this to happen. Nobody else really wants to be wanting this to happen. And we've seen over the years that the SFA, the SPFL, will sort of bend over backwards for these two teams. And it's about time that fans stood up and said, no, this isn't good enough.
Yeah, and it's the clubs lower down the divisions, i.e. our level, even lower, that are impacted by this. I think everybody's aware that if you're a team outside Glasgow, the SFA have got very little consideration for you.
So if you are interested in this campaign, the No to B Teams campaign, you can get a lot more information on their social medias on Twitter. That seems to have garnered a lot of momentum already, so hopefully that continues and a lot more get behind this and this gets completely banned once and for all.
Yeah, I would like to see it get banned, but I go back to, I think once they put the consultation out, I've just got that gut feeling that they're going to do it regardless, whether it's this season or whether they kick the can down the road a couple of years and try and spin it in a different way. I think they're going to push it through.
Yep. So that's that. We'll go to Saturday's game at Kelty Hearts, which, as we said earlier, was the final nail, I guess, in our coffin in League One. Result that has meant that we will be playing League Two, but let's be honest, it wasn't just that results in the last few weeks that got us relegated. It was obviously the season as a whole. 2-1 in the end, and I think far and away this was probably one of the, in a funny way, was one of our better performances this season.
Yeah, I'd agree. Left that game a wee bit baffled, confused how we played so well, but yet still on the receiving end of a defeat. I guess you take it at face value, it is a defeat, but also the way we conceded with the last goal was solely based on trying to get that winner, because we'd heard news filter through for Dunfermline that Clyde were then getting beat. So, but a draw or a defeat, it's the same outcome, it's relegation. But yeah, we played really well. There was a structure about us, there was a lot of determination, fight, everything we've been wanting the whole season. And yeah, it was unfortunate that it was that game that, you know, was the final nail in the coffin.
19 shots, 11 on target, 55% possession.
Yeah.
That was unattainable throughout this season, and 55% away from home as well for possession is just unheard of for us. So it just shows you how far we've come in the short space of time that Ryan and Jordan is taking over.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Ryan and Jordan, you know, they've put in a heck of a lot of work. Not just on a Tuesday and a Thursday, they are working around the clock to try and get things sorted, even going into League Two next season. I'm sure they'll be working on the clock to get things set up and ready to go. Performances have vastly improved. We're aware that the training sessions are a lot different as well. There's a tempo and an energy that they expect to be carried into games. And yeah, I think if you'd maybe given it potentially another 4 or 5 weeks with games to go, we might have gotten out of it based on that sort of performances, because like I said, it's night and day. I think you go back to sort of January, February time, 55% possession, 19 shots, 11 on target was unheard of. You could probably go through February alone and they had 19 shots in the 4 games that we had. We were really that bad and struggling. So credit to them. It's just unfortunate that it sort of means it's League Two next season.
Conor O'Keefe started in place of Jack McIver, and it was good to see him getting a start and playing well as well. And we sort of saw, as you said earlier, a balance within in the squad, within the team. Had been playing 4-4-2, we wondered, so it looked as though it was more a 4-2-3-1, although there were spells it was more of a 4-4-2. So you were getting that balance right, O'Keefe on the left, and possibly showing us what he can do next season.
Yeah, there was glimpses of good play. I think the way we change formation within the game, I think that's something we've lacked for a number of years now, whether it was under Jim or Davey. I think they're experienced managers, but I think the adapting within a game is now, you know, vitally important that you are able to change. And I think Jordan and Ryan got that down to a tee on Saturday. They weren't shirking away from it. They were willing to move players about. And you know, like I said, Danny Strachan, who's pushed forward towards the end late, and Bisling came on. And the subtle changes, but it seemed to work. Well, Jack McIver was good when he came on. And yeah, these are players that next season you're hoping if they're there, whether, you know, Ken Jackson alone, whether he comes back for next season, that you can build a team around, and you feel like they've got that determination and sort of a wee bit of passion about them. Whereas there's maybe certain players that came in January that you feel we're just here for a wee bit of an easy ride.
And it is baffling as to how different the performances has been under Ryan and Jordan compared to what it was with David Robertson. It just seems to be so, night and day. It just seems to be like different players that are playing. That's how different it is.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to kind of, you know, what sort of... I'll use Josh Onyinson as an example. A player that, when he first came in, you sort of felt he'd lost his way a bit, didn't really kind of fit position he wanted to be in. You knew he wanted to be a striker, but he didn't kind of fit sort of type of striker he wanted to be. And then Ryan and Jordan, you know, take interim charge, and he was almost like a completely different player. He was running, he was working hard, willing. And that's something that, you know, as a spectator, you just want to see your team putting in the effort and trying. And that's something that you kind of say was every player was doing that this season. But I think Ryan and Jordan's picked a team that on the day they feel they can win every game, but they've also got players that the Canes got to run and, you know, jump through barriers to try and make things happen for the team. And, you know, Saturdays, you pointed out the stats. We did everything right apart from getting 3 points.
Yeah, there was obviously the offside goal. We had missed chances. Liam Campbell in goal as well had a three or four good saves as well with a massive penalty shout. So things were maybe going against us slightly, but it was good to see us creating so many chances as well, because previous weeks we could have probably gone down there and much like we did when we were down there in December, just got absolutely pumped.
Yeah, that's true. We certainly created chances, some really good chances as well. I don't think the officials sort of helped in any case either. I thought they were poor. Considering Craig Napier is deemed to be a Scottish referee at the top of his game in the Premiership, I think he's had a couple of VAR decisions, hasn't gone his way in recent weeks as well. He's put down to a League One game. Not much better than fit we've seen, to be honest. His officials and the linesman as well didn't help him out either. But I guess when your officials are coming out at 20-3 to do a warm-up, you didn't expect the best officiating in the game, do you?
No, that was the first sort of weird moment of the afternoon when, you know, the teams come out. We watched the teams coming out at normal quarter past two-ish kind of time. And it didn't even dawn on me that the referees weren't out, because you don't really pay much attention to them doing their warm-ups, unless it's the Schmeichel lookalike finishing up at Malmö. But it wasn't until we sort of, as you said, 20 till they sort of wandered up onto the pitch, and you went, it's 20-3.
It was a stroll. They came up the steps, a casual stroll. It wasn't a case of maybe something happened in the road or anything that made them delayed, and they came on with a purpose to warm up. So basically, they came up the steps at Kilty, they go into the park, they do a couple of sprints across from side to side of the pitch, and then just after 10-3, they come back off.
Aye, but they had the cheek to tell the Peterhead players, right, come on, let's get back inside, let's get going.
I was completely staggered that there were officials that can do a warm-up within 10 minutes. So, hey, credit to them if they can get themselves warmed up and ready to go within 10 minutes. Fantastic. But, yeah, I mean, we laugh and joke about it, but the performance, considering that refereeing team is a so-called Premiership team, we are carrying the problems that VAR's created within the Scottish game, and, you know, different referees are called upon to do other jobs these days in the use of VAR, but... the performance of the officials weren't great.
Well, the first sort of big moment was the goal that we scored early on first half. Kieran Shanks turning the ball in from inside the 6 yard box. It was ruled to be offside. Now we had the perfect view of it. We were right in line of it because that's where we were stood at that end first half, and it didn't look as though it was offside. I mean, it was maybe one of those. It was really, really tight. The flag went up, and you were sort of thinking, well, maybe it's one of those things. It was maybe just a slight one. And obviously, we've seen footage, we've put it on social media, it's nowhere near offside.
The difference is the official is trained for that sort of incident. We are not. And as you say, we had a great view the opposite side for the linesman, and we thought even then it was tight and just probably fractionally just on. If you see the clip back, the still image and the video, and having watched the video back as well, I struggle to see how the linesman's, you know, got it wrong. But yeah, that was the first big moment. And, you know, if you'd gone 1-0 up in that game, you just never know if it could have happened.
But if you look at it, Shanks isn't even, not even ahead of the defender when he tucks it in.
Yeah.
So there was I don't think it was any point that he was actually ahead of the defender. And somebody says, oh, it might have been for the initial cross. But even with the initial cross, Oyunson's onside with that as well.
I thought at the time, I think I said to you on Saturday as well, the linesman got his flag up so quick, which made me think, well, maybe it just was a fraction offside. But he got it wrong. You know, the replays show it, the footage that we've got as well. And yeah, it was a big call to get wrong. It's obviously you don't have VAR at that level, but you know, had that been looked at, it would have been given a goal. And as I said, if you got 1-0 up in the way that we were performing in the game, it would have given us a fantastic opportunity.
We going 1-0 up in the first half. I don't think anybody would have disagreed by saying that we would have deserved to go and win up. And even then, you know, we'd gone 1-0 up. We'd known at that stage that Clyde were somehow 1-0 up against Dunfermline. So it was obviously still all to play for at that time. And I think we probably would have gone on and controlled the game as well and possibly gone on and stretched really, because to be honest with you, at that time, Kelty didn't really look as though they were going to score. I know McKenzie had a couple of saves to make, maybe comfortable saves, but other than that, they didn't look as though they were going to break us down.
No, I think that a header early on at the back post, unmarked, and as you said, McKenzie had a couple of saves that you'd expect your goalkeeper to make. We had the offside one, where we also had the crossbar. I think Jordan Brown had a header as well, was it, that just went wide?
I think Jordan would back and say, he needs to take that one, yeah.
Yeah, really good one. And then the potential handball incident as well. So, I mean, we could quite conceivably have been two or three up going into half-time. And I think nobody would have really batted an eyelid and says we didn't deserve it. But these are the small margins that make the difference.
And the penalty shout you mentioned there as well, again, with a perfect view at it, we were looking right at it. This time, maybe there's an argument that the linesman kind of give it because it's the opposite end. It was in the right back area kind of thing. But again, Napier, you look at Craig Napier, he needs to be looking at that. He needs to be picking it up. It just looked as though he was just doing for a jolly and wasn't going to give anything really. He didn't book anybody at all in those games. Maybe there's a foul that was maybe justified a yellow, but there was a few niggly ones. You thought, well, that could be a yellow, that could be a yellow. Just didn't bother. So he's not picking up these fouls. He certainly didn't pick up the handball, which definitely should have been a handball. And as you said, we could have potentially really been two or three up at half time.
Yeah, the penalty decision, I wouldn't lay any blame at the linesman. As you said, Craig Napier's got to be in a better position. It's at his side of the pitch, if that makes sense, because the linesman's on the far side where we're stood, so Craig Napier needs to be in a better position. And he's missed it. Like I said, I don't think the officials were great. That's nae silver grapes because we've lost the game. It just, they weren't great on the day. And as you said, there was nae yellow cards brandished either. So probably a referee that was probably trying to keep a low profile. And it quite worked.
Yeah, and there was a weird one as well, first half, for he spoke to Potter during the first half, and he was speaking to Urbench as well, and he just seemed to want to get himself involved in things which didn't really need to get himself involved with, but then miss out these massive decisions.
Prime example was right at the end, which got both our backs up, the altercation with Jason Brown and their striker. So he speaks to one at length, and then calls Jason Brown over to have a chat as well. And as you said, well, why, if you're not going to book them, you speak to them both at the same time and tell them to go on with it. But at the same time, if you're not going to book them, just let the game go. Because this is a point where, towards the end of the game, we knew that Dunfermline had gotten back to winning, to beating Clyde 2-1. So we knew that if we'd gotten a winner, we could have taken it to the last game of the season, and we're slowing the game down. Again, you're just looking for your referee to assess the game on a game-by-game basis, and you know that one could have just been a foul and get on with it.
Just because he's refereed Premier League games, or Premiership games this season, I should say, and it's been a while since he's refereed a Peterhead game, he probably hasn't refereed many Kelty games, and this is where you come into a game where you don't really know the players as much as me, you would know that the players that you regularly referee. And I just think it's coming to a game like this, high stakes for at least one of the sides, for Peterhead, and I think he's maybe just going to this game thinking, oh, it's a League One game. Oh, it doesn't really matter. I'll be going back to the Premier League later on.
Yeah, probably. I think he was probably a referee that was quite happy to get a lower league game, try and bide out the limelight. Like I said, again, he's been involved in a few VAR decisions of late, or, you know, questionable decisions given that you watch on sports team, and he seems to be involved in them. So, but yeah, I go back to that. I wasn't impressed with the officials, and that's, it's nice that we're grapes. It's just, you know, the way it is.
The opening goal is from a corner, which wasn't a surprise, really. That's one of the things that's been consistent this season, and early on in the first half as well. You sort of look at the games recently and say, well, we've conceded early, first half we conceded early, second half. Obviously, that's things we need to sort of look at, and especially conceding for corners as well. So I think we're at 12 or 13 that we've conceded for corners this season already.
We've conceded a few. Like we said on Saturday, that goal coming for a corner early in the half has been coming. We didn't start the second half against Clyde anywhere near as well, so it should have struggled against Dunfermline, and then they scored, you know, after 55, 60 minutes. So it's something that you felt was always coming, but disappointing to concede again for a set piece.
But as we said before, you know, heads might have dropped earlier on in the season. The floodgates may well have opened up, but they didn't, and the boys dug in, and within 15 minutes we were back level. That man, Josh Oyenson, again, who had, I think, had a terrific game doing there. I think he was putting himself about. He was getting into he was getting under the skin of the Kelty defenders, and indeed the fans as well. He was getting booed during the game as well, which just shows you how much of a menace he was, and thoroughly deserved his goal.
Yeah, I think Jack Milne are probably not expecting an easy game at centre back for Kelty, but he got anything but. Josh Oyenson sort of ran ragged. I thought him and Shanks both played well, to be fair. They moved the defence about well. Their link-up play, they weren't quite willing just to stand in one place and look for the bar. They were moving, linking up well with each other. Caused Kelty a lot of problems, and, you know, Josh got his just rewards, got the goal, but, you know, Kieran Shanks had a great opportunity as well. As you rightly said on Saturday, a confident Kieran Shanks would have taken it first time. He didn't, he took a touch, keeper, you know, got back, set himself and saved it for a corner. But yeah, I thought both the strikers played well.
In this one, it was over the line. We could see it was over the line. You were just waiting for the linesman not to give it, but, you know, the linesman seemed to, you know, make that gesture that he was going to run to the halfway line because it was a goal. So you're just kind of waiting for Craig Napier to find someone that wasn't there and rule the goal out. But, you know, that just kind of galvanised everybody a little bit for the final push in that game.
It was a weird couple of seconds, though, is it? Because normally you tend to find that the linesman, he'll run back, he'll flag, or he stands and he flags first and then he runs back to the halfway line. But it was weird because some of the Kelty players didn't think it was a goal, but we expected it to be given a goal, and then there's a weird couple of seconds of confusion until Craig Napier actually blown and pointed to the centre circle. Again, you're just looking for the officials to do what they're meant to. You flag and then you run back to the halfway line. But yeah, you know, it's clearly over the line. I don't think we can hear any complaints with it.
I would say as well, that's probably was Liam Campbell's only mistake in that game for Kelty in their goal. He was sorry. I really do like him. He's a really good keeper. As you said, he's a couple of efforts for Oyenson, one on one as well, and he looked good. But that was the only mistake. But we capitalised on the mistake, which again, you know, is we've had occasions where we're having to capitalise on mistakes from the opposition, and we've capitalised on that one.
I think the goalkeeper starting position was impressed me quite a bit. And the Kelty are trying to play up, he Keynes went to be outside the box and went to be inside. I think his starting position was good. I think that was sort of the reason that he made the double save for Josh and Kieran. His positioning to start with was really good. Like you said, he only made the one mistake. We capitalised on it. And thankfully we did, because we've been guilty of getting opportunities in the past, but we hadn't been able to take them and finish them off.
And it was a Jack Wilkie assist, another Jack Wilkie assist as well, which pushes him up to three for the season. I would suggest as well that he could well have been, you know, double that had we been able to capitalise on his free kicks and corners in the last 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, well, I think we mentioned a couple of weeks ago that I think the set pieces for Jack have been really good. They've improved. It's certainly something you can see he's been working on, whether he's doing extra training or not. You know, doing it Dundee, but it's working. It's paying off for him. And yeah, we probably could have had a couple more assists from him if we were lucky.
And when we had the news that Clyde had lost late on against Dunfermline, now the Celtic game. It was late in starting because there was an issue with their net, which was put back together again with some black tape, would be the looks of it. So, you know, and as you said, we'll be about 5-10 minutes behind the Clyde game, so we'll care if it would be. And funny enough, that is exactly what had happened. Dunfermline managed to get a late winner. We've still got 5 or 6 minutes left to play. It's 1-1. We can't put what we need here. We need to push on and get a winner.
Yeah, that's where Kelty's winner sort of came for, really, was it? It was everybody was pushed forward. We realised that Dunfermline had beaten Clyde in the dying embers of the game. We've pushed to get a winner, which would have taken it to the last game of the season. It just wasn't it being, you know, once that goal went in for Kelty, you just seen the players' reaction, knees, hands on their knees, and sort of crouched over, really disappointed. But, you know, they can take heart and confidence for the performance. Yes, there will be players that aren't here next season, but the players are here, they'll realise that disappointment and want to make amends next season.
Yeah, it was a big sucker punch, the second goal. But, you know, you've got a player like Joe Cardinal coming off the bench, and I think I mentioned it to you the last time we played Celtic at Haim. You know, they've got a bench that they can bring Joe Cardinal off, and, you know, we're looking at our bench and going, who's going to be the difference maker here? And that's kind of maybe the difference that we've been all season. We just haven't had that depth and quality of a squad.
Yeah, I think you could probably still say that comment now. There's certain players there that you maybe think that, well, I'd imagine that the vast majority of the ones that are out of contract will not be here next season. That there will be changes within the club. I'm sure Ryan and Jordan will look at their own targets and find out who they want to bring in. But yeah, that is a difference. They were able to bring on a player of Joe Cardinal's quality and ability, whereas we maybe just didn't quite hit.
And as I said earlier, it was much better performance. Arguably one of our better ones over the course of the season. I know it's a loss, but in terms of, you know, the season we've had, you know, you're probably counting on one hand how many decent performances we've had, and that's going to be up there with those.
Yeah, I think we've had periods within a game where we've done okay, but I think it's a complete performance. This would be, yeah, it's a defeat, but I think it would be up there with, you know, a performance of the season. You know, we've had wins this season, but I don't think we've played well 90 minutes throughout within that game. This was probably the game, like you said, we could have easily been 3-4-0 up at half time with a couple of chances in the second half as well. So yeah, it's disappointing that we've now won the game, but you know, you can certainly take a lot of heart for the performance.
And you look at the goals, as I said, it's one for a corner, we switched off a corner, and the winners come from us pushing on, going for a win that we really needed to. Now, how'd results gone our way earlier on a couple of weeks ago? Had we gotten that win against Clyde, for example, instead of drawing and dropping the 2 points, a point might have been good enough to take it to the final day, and we would have been pushing on. So we've got to sort of take that into consideration. But as you said, in terms of like a 90-minute performance, that's not been very often this season, but that one certainly was.
Yeah, and I don't think you'll find many teams who go to Celtic and get 55% possession for their 90 minutes. I think if you're maybe to take away Dunfermline, Falkirk and Airdrie, you need to go through the stats and have a look, but I don't think there were many teams that for 90 minutes would take 55% possession. We had chances, good chances as well. It's made chances for 30, 40 yards and you're just blazing them over. We had chances, and you know, on the day it was just unfortunate we didn't get the 3 points.
And certainly now a lot of teams will go there and hit, 19 shots, 11 on target as well.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It was just unfortunate, like I said, that we didn't get the 3 points that, you know, it would have taken it to the last game of the season, but it just shows you how bitterly disappointing Clyde getting that equaliser was, you know, the week before. That would have been a 4 points. You'd have also taken two more off Clyde, a point off Clyde as well, for their draw at Balmour. So, yeah, it could have been all to play for on Saturday, but alas, it wasn't to be.
So we'll get some of your comments that come through as well. A few to come through. We'll start with Lee Esselman. Despite the result, I thought we were great. The boys gave it everything, and they should be very commended. It wasn't like the Peterhead we've seen this season. It really put Kelty under pressure. That said, we didn't take our chances. With more confidence and a bit of luck in the final third, I think it could have been our day. Looking forward to next season, though. Rosemary Cow, proud of our team. Next season's fresh start for Jordan and Ryan as our management team. Give them all the support they deserve and need. Graham McLean, the last seven games saw our pride and passion slowly restored. And to take things to the penultimate game reflects on how well Jordan and Ryan have done and what they hope to achieve. Next season is a fresh start all round, and our new managers have begun the hard work already by identifying targets to aid our mission. Sometimes a step back aids a surge forward, onwards and upwards. George Cordner, tough to take, but probably a blessing in disguise. Jason Argo, it's not what we wanted, but the writing was on the wall for a while. It's important that the club acts accordingly. Let's not get caught out with the threadbare squad when the season starts like we did last year. Hit the ground running and all that. So, as we said, lots of disappointment. Obvious disappointment because we've been relegated. However, a lot of folk are saying, yeah, let's be positive and look forward to next season, which is weird to say after being relegated. But there is that, we have finished the season in a positive manner.
Yeah, an interesting point that Jason made there as well, that obviously the squad is very threadbare from when we started, you know, this season, and it just had a knock-on effect of not getting the quality of players in, but also playing games where you only had 3-4 subs on the bench. It's important that obviously Jordan and Ryan will have identified their targets. How quickly you can get these players in remains to be seen, but I'm sure they've identified a squad number that they'd be happy with going into the new season. It is, you know, middle of July that you'll start, but there'll be you know, training sessions before that as well. So really, you start in July, so you're like 8 weeks away, which in the grand scheme of things isn't that long. You consider holidays and end of contracts and players to sign in for the get a day. We've got to get a squad that we're happy with going into pre-season, so you can get them to gel and get used to the team tactics that Jordan and Ryan want. I've said Jason twice now, I'm convinced he's got to be taken over at some capacity.
Because of the contract situations and things like that, Bosman rule, that you can start speaking to players now. You can actually start speaking to them in January. So I'm sure they've had conversations with players out with the club already. It'd be interesting to see which ones that Davey said has supposedly had tied up for next season as well, who they were, and if obviously they're still coming in, or if, you know, he's maybe just been speaking to certain players and things weren't sort of tied up, if they would still be interested in coming under Ryan and Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan and Ryan all had different targets to what Davey Heddle had, a different pool of contacts. You know, and I think that'll be key as well. Obviously, Davey was over in India for a period of time. You know, still had contacts here, but obviously the players that he brought in were more south-based or foreign. I think the guys now will go a different route. I think they will try and get more local players. It's not always as easy as just picking out players from the northeast and then bringing them into the team. There's different mitigating circumstances. But I do think they will have a more local team, and I think they'll try and really have that connection with the club that, you know, they had when they first started at Balmoor all them years ago.
Just to sort of visually give you an idea how well Ryan and Jordan have done, they've had seven games. Okay, it's been five losses, one draw and one win, and we could argue that one draw definitely should have been a win. But we've scored five and conceded 11, which obviously is minus six. But in those seven games, we haven't scored conceded more than two in any of those games, whereas in Davey's last two games, we conceded 13 goals alone. So it tells you just how far they've been able to take the team forward.
I'd also go a step further and say, under Davey's regime, one of his latter performances was away to Airdrie when we got absolutely gubbed. Now you look at that performance with the players that played against Airdrie and the performance and the players that played against Kelty. Now, okay, Kelty and Airdrie are completely different teams as well, different styles, but, you know, it's the same players. and the fact that they managed to get a 2-0 at them, I think, speaks volumes for them as well.
Yeah, it was the final two games for Davy were 5-0 away from home at Falkirk, 7-0 against Airdrie. We didn't expect much of those two games before then, but we didn't expect those. But then since then, obviously, it's been 2-0, 2-1 losses, then a 1-0 win. So straight away, you could see that the improvement was coming.
Yeah, no, see, when Stuart McKenzie came in, I think we mentioned on IR that Wisney's biggest fan. I thought he looked a wee bit shaky, struggled, but then he was playing behind the defence that was shaky and struggling themselves. I think his performances in recent weeks have been better as well. I think he's probably gotten a bit of continuity with the defence in front of him. And I think next season, if you get, you know, give the defence and Stuart a good pre-season, build that confidence, then I think you will get the keeper that we've seen that play at Cove, and I think he'll be a good addition. Maybe it's not quite worked out for him in the first couple of months of his regime this time, but you know, going into next season, you've got a really good keeper. And the fact that you've got a keeper that was playing in the Championship, okay, a wee bit sparingly at Cove, but to hear a keeper of his calibre in League Two, you know, that'll be a brilliant basis to build on.
So it's that stage of the season where people start to go through the season, get their Player of the Years, their signings of the years and things like that. We obviously have got our end of season review and awards to come up, which obviously we haven't even looked at yet because we didn't really want to because it's been that difficult. But last week we put on a wee thing for you to have a look at, and it was basically to come up with your Player of the Year, your Flop of the Year, Most Improved, Unsung Hero and Signing of the Year. Some of you have got in touch with that as well. So it'll be interesting to see some of the names that was mentioned. So we'll start with Scott Reid. His Player of the Year was Jason Brown. Flop was Paul Dixon. Most Improved was Jack Wilkie. His Unsung Hero was Jason Brown as well. And he was torn between Shanks and Wilkie as the signing, but he's gone with Wilkie as the signing of the season because, what do you say, he was torn between the two, but was slightly more consistent than Wilkie. That's why he's going with him.
Yeah, I think Jack Wilkie's had a good season. We mentioned that a couple of weeks ago as well, that you know, you were looking at the players and you sort of think that Jack's had a really good season, which is a wee bit surprising. A team that's conceded as many goals as Strictly have, and he's been part of that defence. But you know, he made a mistake against Dunfermline for their second goal. We both looked at each other and thought it's like one of his first mistakes that he's made, considering being in the defence last season. I think he'll go back to Dundee. I think if Dundee get promoted, I wouldn't expect to see him in their first team. I think he'll go back out on loan, but certainly he's at least a Championship player, and he's only going to get better as well.
I should say the vast majority of the ones that's come in, Paul Dixon has been the flop of the season, which you can really disagree with.
No, the only word, flop, is maybe slightly harsh because obviously you've got the injury, but I certainly think it's a player that came in with all the experience that he had. You felt he would really bring that calmness at the back. I felt at the start of the season, if you had him and Jason Brown as your two centre-backs, solid, you know, name once you get past him, okay. Paul was maybe missing that little bit of pace he had, but he is also at the age of 36. He was going to struggle, but it never really worked. You know, his last couple of performances as well before he got the injury, he was sort of called 1-9. He was hooked twice by, was it Jim? His last two games, he was hooked before the hour mark. A signing that just never lived up to what it could have been.
I would say as well, okay, take the injury, but he just didn't look as though, even over a course of a full season, I think he really would have struggled. And as you said, his last two or three appearances, he was getting hooked earlier and earlier in those three games, obviously, that he was maybe slightly carrying an injury as well. But he really did struggle early on, and he did look as though he was a 36-year-old defender.
Yeah, different if your team's full of confidence and you're winning games, you'll get by. But from where struggling, I'll never say he hit, but you could certainly tell that teams were using Paul's side as an area of a weakness in our squad. They use that to their advantage. It's one of them. It could have been so much more than what it actually was.
Paul, Jason, Graham have all put Andy McCarthy as their players of the season. And Danny Strahan comes up quite a bit as well in terms of most improved as well. John O'Brien, he's put doing Jason Brown as the player of the season. Kevin Joshua is the flop of the season. Jack Wilkie is the most improved, and Jason Brown is the unsung hero, and Julian Carr is the signing of the season.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's a game of opinions.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, a lot of these signings have been, it's been really difficult to pick out who's been in a standout other than a lone player.
Yeah, I think what you'd probably agree on is there are certain players, you know, we've mentioned Danny Strachan, Andy McCarthy, Jason Brown, Jack Wilkie, that, you know, football's a game of opinions, everybody's got their own opinion on things, but it just shows you there hasn't been that standout player this season, that everybody's got their slight different takes on it. It's interesting that we're a team bottom in the division, and we've mentioned Danny Strachan, Jason Brown and Jack Wilkie as player of the year. I think that's pretty telling on our front line as well.
Yeah.
Now, granted, there has been numerous different players come and go in the attacking areas, which probably hasn't helped, and I'm sure that's a season that will be addressed in the summer.
And Ethan Shearer, he's got to join Jordan Brown as a most improved player as well, which is an interesting one because, you know, start of the season he wasn't really sort of getting into the side, but, you know, the more games he's been playing, not just under obviously himself, but when he was playing under Davey Robertson as well, you just felt as though that confidence and that fitness was getting better and better every week.
Yeah, I'd agree. He's one of them. He's a confidence sort of player. You know, he got his goal the other week against Clyde, and you see him doing it on Saturday. He never stopped running. He never stopped speaking to his teammates. He was wanting the ball. And again, that comes down to his confidence. And I'm sure next season, whether they will be taking a more laid-back approach in terms of being in the dugout or whether they will want to continue with one of them playing and being that focal point on the pitch remains to be seen. But I think no matter whether he's on the pitch or in the dugout, you know, Jordan will give you 100%.
And obviously, I'll put in my picks as well, but they're named vastly different from the most of the selections here. That I put Danny Strachan down as most improved. I could have put Jack Wilkie in that bracket as well. But I just think that Danny, the more games he gets, the better he seems to get as well. And he's been asked to play in numerous different positions this season under three different management teams as well, and seems to be excelling. And if we can hang on to him next season as well, I think he could certainly lock down that sort of right-back area for himself and go on and have another good season next season.
A very consistent performer. I think there is players in the team that will drop in and out of games. I think Danny will give you that consistency throughout. I think very rarely does his performance sort of drop. He's a determined lad. Yeah, we think he's a pretty quiet sort of lad, but he doesn't shirk a challenge either. He's willing to, you know, get that extra yards and try and get up and help his teammates or track him back as well. And I certainly think we've seen a difference with him playing at right back than fit with other players as well.
So at the time of recording, because we need to put that in, because obviously things change quite a bit
Tuesday night,
so we'll see what happens then. But as things stand, there are 15 players out of contract at the end of the season at the club. We obviously know that Paul Dixon is retiring or has retired, so that takes you down to 14. And of those 14, we can go through these just now quickly and see who you think we should stay or who should go. And obviously these are okay. in no particular order. We obviously know that there's four players going out and out back to their clubs after their loans as well, so we're obviously not going to take those into account. But we'll just start with David Wilson. Been on loan at Inverurie Locos for the second half of the season. Quite surprised that he went on loan. I think a lot of what was surprised for me. I think he deserves another chance, another contract, and sort of ticks the box off. You know, he's well known to the club, and he's one of those local players as well.
Yeah, I think he'd be worthy of another season. Probably surprised that he went out on loan, whether that was through his own choice or whether that was a choice that was made for him. Certainly, I think he had a part to play. Play for us, management team decided otherwise, but I certainly think in League Two as well, will certainly do a job.
And I think if he's injury free next season, I think that we could probably see the best of him as well. Jason Brown, I think this goes without saying, it's a stick on for a new contract.
Was it Rio Ferdinand said all them years ago on BT, just give him a contract, get him to sign it, all that stuff. Yeah, you know, you've seen Jason's passion on Saturday, and you've seen how disappointed he was. Yeah, absolute shoo-in for a new contract.
I'd like to see as well a two-year at least for him as well.
Yeah, I think that would set a precedent as well. Not just for his point of view, but for the clubs as well. You know, captain material, we've spoken over the years about how well he's matured as a player as well. For me, it's a no-brainer to give him a new contract.
You know that Andy McCarthy and Conor O'Keefe, they've signed two-year deals, so now if we can get him to sign another two-year deal, at least we've got a nucleus of a team, a squad for the next two or three seasons.
Yeah, I mean, briefly, I get why the club only gives normally one-year deals, but I think you've got to try and get a basis and a foundation of not changing the squad every summer. You know, we did it 2 years ago, we did it last year, and we're going to wait to do it again this summer. You want to have the bulk of your good players tied up in deals, whether it's a two-year deal or a three-year deal, and Jason's one of them for me. It falls into that category.
Danny Strachan, another one out of contract for me, as another one that has to get another contract.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. It's, like I said, he's a very consistent performer. Very rarely does he drop below a 7 out of 10, 6 out of 10. Gives his everything, a local loon, changes what it means to the club. For me, it's a new contract.
Then we start to get into the ones maybe not so straightforward. Cody McLeod, I think for me, he's deserving of another contract. I think in the sort of flashes we've seen of him so far this season, which has been very rare, I think potentially could offer something in League Two, but he's sort of seemed to have fallen out of favour with the new management team.
Yeah, an interesting one. Like you said, there's been flashes of what he can do. Whether he could do it consistently, whether he's got that fight to get in the team when it's not going so well, I don't know. Probably, for me, would fall in that category. If he stayed and he was willing to work, then great. But if he's not quite got that attitude for it, then maybe look to move him on.
Robbie Scullion, I think because his loan hasn't really been that successful at Beath, I think he's probably one that you just sort of cut ties with and just say, oh, thank you very much, but it's a no.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think the Beath Juniors loan was a chance for him to showcase what he can do. I think he got off to a really good start. I don't think he played much in the first four games, so he's spell there either. Probably one of them you'd look to say thanks, but no thanks.
Another one who's on loan as well, Prince Cesare, has done well at Lockie, the opposite of Robbie Scullion, was injured last week, so he's just making his way back through, but has done well. And again, there was a hint of a player there prior to sort of going on loan when Jim signed him, and I think for me it's maybe worth a punt for a season, if anything, just to kind of fill the squad.
Yeah, so this one for me, had we been remaining in League One, I'd have said release, but the fact that we're dropping down a division, he's only 19 as well, he's still got ample time to grow within his game. Certainly a player that I think would probably be worthy of a one-year deal, and then reviewing it again next summer, whether he's going to be continuing with us.
Enoch Wallace-Simby, to be honest with you, had forgotten that he was still within the squad. He pops up doing again on the bench when obviously there's nobody else to fill it. But for me, we've got to let him go as well.
Yeah, probably in the category of it hasn't quite worked out, like so many other signings in January. It just hasn't quite been there. Hasn't really played, I think it was one appearance, two appearances since the turn of the year as well. I'd look to move him on.
Yeah, but Dalvac sort of carry on to get him in initially with Jim, and then he couldn't play because of red tape and that.
That's right.
So that didn't go on. Now we go into the David Robertson signings. Daniel Fozu, I think we both agree that he can get so far to that club as quick as possible, because he just hasn't done anything to justify a new contract here.
I would like to say it falls in the category of thanks, but no thanks, but I'm not quite sure if I'd be thanking him for. A player that I just felt really hasn't been up for the fight. I think maybe in the first game he tried to show something, but then thereafter never really looked like he wanted to play for us. I want to move on.
Glenn Gabriel, Bolas, Malingui, Eli, Ikwa, I think they probably would all be exactly the same, but if you released them, you wouldn't even know that they weren't there.
No, and Martin will also free up a good bit of wages as well, which will allow Wright and Jordan to look at their targets. And probably, you know, I think it'll be a smaller squad next season, but I think it'll be a squad with more talent in it.
Kevin Joshua, now for me, it's 50-50. I think it depends on what you do with David Wilson for me, but I think if he cuts out the mistakes, cuts out the silly errors, and doesn't think he's Paolo Maldini, then just sticks to being a defender, I think he could do a decent job.
If he's asked to defend, he can defend.
Yeah.
But if he's asked to do anything else, I think he struggles. For me, I think it also depends on what Ryan Strachan wants to do. If he wants to go into League Two and be playing more rather than being on the dugout, it would be a no. But if you had Jason alongside him, you know, talking him through the games and telling him when to keep it simple, there's potentially a player there. I personally wouldn't have been in a rush to tie him down for next season. I do think that it would be better players on the market that will hear our contracts expire on at clubs. But if we should keep it simple and just defend, then yeah, possibly.
Josh Oyinson, 6-7 weeks ago I said no, but you know, if he can play the way he's been playing in the last 6-7 weeks, get him in. And I think at League Two, I think that's probably set up for him as well. And as I said earlier on, he was making himself a nuisance against Kelty. He was getting under their skins. And he's proven to be a decent target man.
Completely, 100%. I think if you'd asked me 6 weeks ago, it'd have been thanks, but no thanks. But now he seems to be working for the guys. You know, he's one of them that certainly benefited for Davey moving on. And like you said, being in League Two, it might give him that platform, that confidence to build on. And yeah, to me, I would give him a new contract if he's willing to stick around.
And the last one is Sandy Wood, who obviously has been a backup goalkeeper all season. But I just wonder, him being 36, Stuart McKenzie being 34 or 35, whatever he is, whether that Ryan and Jordan look at potentially bringing in a backup who is a bit younger than Sandy.
Potentially. It's a weird thing, because trying to take in a backup keeper can be a strange thing. I think if Sandy was willing to remain in the club, fully aware that it's a backup role to Stuart McKenzie, then so be it. On the flip side, you get 5 weeks in and you realise it's Stuart's out for 2 months. Would you want Sandy as your number one at that age, like you said? So, it's an interesting one. Again, one that you maybe wouldn't have been in a hurry to sort out. But probably one that you'd want to get your eye off the ball with either.
So those 15, we'll look as though maybe 5 stays. So add that to the 8 that's already signed up for next season as well. You're looking at 13. So there is scope for another, you know, 8 to 10 players to come in again during the summer.
Yeah, it'll be a summer of transition again with players coming in and going. I think they'll want to get their business done early, like I said, with pre-season. I think they'll want to get the players that they've identified in as soon as possible, you know, the foundation to build on. The guys are working in the club, like I said, already to try and get that happening. And like I said, hopefully they'll be using that front over the next couple of weeks. But as you mentioned at the start of the programme, I think the fact that the mentality of supporters has changed as well, there is a growing, you know, positivity for next season.
So League 2 is, and we sort of know roughly who we're going to be playing. We know definitely we're going to be playing Forfar, Stenhouse Muir, Sunrar, Elgin. Looks as though it's going to be Bonnie Rigg as well, but obviously they can still finish it in bottom. And then Spartans, Brechin or Albion, Rovers, obviously the playoff spaces as well, to be sorted out. And I genuinely think, if you know, we get a good pre-season, get a few players in, this could be a season next season where we should be doing really well, and I'd like to think that anything fourth and above would be the target?
I think so. I think it all depends how you start your season. If you start off really well on the front foot, I think we'll have a good campaign. If you get the first round of fixtures in, you're 9 games in, you've only got maybe 3-4 wins, and you see that you're struggling, that's when you're really got to see the likes of how Jordan and Ryan adapt to things. It's okay if you're in a situation where we are now, where you've nothing to lose, but next season's completely different. It'll be their team, it'll be their shake-up, how they want to go with things. I think they'll do well. And like you said, I think anything from fourth and above will be deemed a good season, getting the playoffs, but let's get off to a good start.
Certainly wouldn't want to be us, Dean for Elgin did on Saturday, and celebrating finishing eighth like they've won the league, because, okay, they've secured their league status for next season, but I would like to think that's far beneath us.
Yeah, I think if we're celebrating eighth next season, I personally would be classing it as a really disappointing season, to be perfectly honest. I think even, although we didn't have much of the team for next season, we think we'll potentially, in our eyes, we need 13 players, so at least probably, I think, 8 or 9 to come in. You've got to be looking, you've got to be looking at going straight back up. Within a disappointing season, but it was only a couple of years ago that we're knocking on the door of the Championship as well. So there is a nucleus, a good squad. But again, concerning the confidence, and when you only got the confidence, you didn't play well. But there's certainly quality within our squad.
Well, the first time we got relegated back to League 2, it took us 3 attempts to get up. And the second time we got relegated, which was the last time in 2017, it took us 2 attempts to get up. So with that pattern... Oof. First time
we're going straight back up.
that's how I'd like to see it.
It's when it comes down to mentality. I think if we just go down, and I'm sure the guys when I hear this in their heads, but then I expect just to go back up, and they're going to have to work hard, they're going to have to run that miles to prove to themselves that they're better than League 2. Almost like an air of arrogance about them, like, we're too good to be in this division, we should be winning games and comfortably. But again, you need off to a good start to the season.
So finally then, Falkirk and Saturday, the last game of the season, it's essentially a dead rubber for both sides.
Yeah.
Falkirk have secured second. They're coming off the back of their Scottish Cup semi-final on Saturday. It'd be interesting to see how both sides really line up. Falkirk might be looking at it and say, well, we'll make changes, we'll rest players ahead of their playoff places. Jordan and Ryan might look at it and go, well, we might give some of the fringe players a go as well, give them one last opportunity to say, right, I'm deemed worthy of a contract.
Yeah, I was actually speaking to somebody at work about this today, and I was like, the Falkirk squad will be an interesting one because, okay, they'll have the bitterly disappointment of the semi-final, but they're going into the playoffs, their form isn't been the best in the last couple of weeks. And I think if their supporters come up and they get beat by Peterhead, they'll be looking at going into the playoffs in really poor form, confidence not the greatest. Do they want to risk putting out their full team and picking up a couple of injuries? We've nothing to play for. It's a dead rubber game. And like you said, I think a few of the fringe players might get a run out just to say they're worthy of a new deal. But it's the end of the season. I don't
have
much hope for anything.
No, I mean, you look at it and you think, well, it's not a game that, it really means anything, as we said, it's a dead rubber. It might end up just being a complete scrappy 0-0 draw, which can be problems. But you'd like to think that the players and Ryan and Jordan would want to end the season with a good performance and, if anything, a victory.
Yeah, it'll be a bittersweet moment if we do win the game, because I'm just going to cast my mind back to Clyde, thinking if we'd held on against Clyde, because we wouldn't have been pushing against Kelty to get a winner had we held on. So all ifs and buts, but you want to end the season as strong as possible, give the fans something for next season to look forward to. But I think a few of the French players will come in, get a run around and see how they go.
Yeah, and as you said, it would be interesting to see how they set up, because, it might be a case that Ryan drops out just to see how things go for next season in terms of him playing. And Jordan might be the same as well. So it'd be interesting to see how it goes. And as I said, I'd like to see somebody like John Allen get a start as well, because, he's going to be there for next season anyway. Kieran Shanks' likelihood isn't going to be. He's probably obviously been a better player. He didn't want to drop him, but at least you know, give John Allen a good run out and see how he gets on.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously Keenan will be here next season. He's on loan. He'll be fully aware of the situation. He'll be going back to Arbroath. To me, give John Allen a start. Whether it means you put Keenan Shanks out wide left or wide right or just drop him, you know, it's a game that really means nothing to both clubs.
No, it's no, pointless even sort of try to big it up of any of it.
It's a dead rubber.
It'll be a dead rubber. And when we come back to speak about it next week, it'll be very, very brief, I would suggest, because I don't think it'll be a great game.
No, I think, weirdly, I think it'll be a classic end of season game. Nobody will really want to be too committal. We've been the last game of the season. Okay, Falkirk have got their playoffs. They won't want injuries either. We're guys going to want to get injured. There'll be a lot of them out of contracts for new clubs and even for players that are signing for next season. It'll just be a... I want to say it'll be a drab game. We'll probably end up finishing 4-4 now that I've said that.
So, for the final time this season, we are joined by an opposition supporter who's going to give us his take on this Saturday's game. So, joining us from the Falkirk Daft podcast is John McAnally. John, how are you? Good to see you again.
Hi, good seeing you, Will Cohen. How are you?
Not too bad. Just
We were talking about just there, you know, we had very differing Saturdays
yes.
We were in the Scottish Cup semi-final. Unfortunately, you guys were going down.
You didn't get to the Cup final. It's not looking a good weekend for it. It was okay. It was inevitable. It was coming. But yeah, even though we would like to have taken it to the last day, but unfortunately, it hindered us. So. But how was things for you, apart from obviously the result? How was the experience of the Cup semi-final?
You know, it was a great day. It was a good day out. You know, the excitement, the build all week. Unfortunately, just on the day, we just didn't do enough. Inverness just showed their conical nature and showed that there's a clear separation between the Championship and League One. When they've got a striker like Billy Mackay who just, you know, mm-hmm. bossed us. It was hard to take, but you know, it's not all. It's more back to playoffs and the thoughts of playoffs now. That's what it's all about.
Would you put doing as a good season though, finishing second, albeit behind Dunfermline on a Cup semi final?
I think when you look back at previous seasons, you know, like certainly the last two of them, we've not even made the playoffs, which is a disgrace for a club the size of Falkirk, not even making the playoffs for a full time side in League One. I think, you know, you've got to say McGuinn has turned the side around. I mean, we've got the second biggest budget in the league. So you would hope we are where we're at in terms of the finances, you know. It is a successful season. It's just, it could have been a brilliant season, do you know what I mean? If you get to the Scottish Cup final and if we were to go up to the playoffs, it would have been an outstanding season, you know. But now we've not got to the final, so it's all just... All the chips are in for the playoff now, you know.
Maybe an air of what could have been, because you look at Dunfermline's record, they haven't really blown anybody away. Okay, they've only lost one game, but I think you guys in Airdrie have scored more. They've obviously been defensively a lot better. So is there a slight of maybe a better prepared Falkirk side maybe would have pushed them a little bit further?
Yeah, I think that's been the big disappointment, you know, looking at the tables just now, you know, we're 14 points off in Fairwind, you know, going into the last game, and I think that's a big disappointment, especially because they're our biggest rivals and they've had great delight in rubbing it in our faces over the last few months as a result of that. But, it's been a bit hard to take, but Dunfermline, like you say, they've been very organised. You know, I don't think necessarily they play the best football in the league, but, you know, if I could be in their position and take what they've had and just, you know, consistency, you know, only losing one game across the season is extraordinary, you know. They've been very consistent, very organised, you know, hats off to them, you know, unfortunately.
Will this be the finally the year that you get out of this League One?
Well, I hope so. I mean, it's going to be, you know, the playoffs are always tough. The playoffs, you know, we don't know who we're going to be facing. If it's Airdrie or Alloa, certainly, I think we've got the beating of Alloa. We've had the Sean O'Light over them most of the season in all the games that we've played. But Airdrie is a bit of a bogey team for us. And obviously, I mean, they've dropped a wee bit of form the last couple of weeks, but they were absolutely flying, you know. And going into the final league, I think they've got Edinburgh away. I'm not too sure how low I've got, actually. I think it might be Queen of the South. Am I right in saying that? I don't know. But Alloa, you know, it's going to be one of the two of them. I mean, I would prefer Alloa, but I think I've got a funny feeling it'll be Airdrie.
And then in the Championship as well, it's a three-way battle.
Well, exactly. So I would love to relegate Paul Hartley. I'm going to be completely honest with you. If we managed to get past Airdrie or Alloa and get to the final, I'd love it if it was Cove. And I would absolutely... It would make not getting to that final worth it if we were to manage to relegate Paul Hartley's side.
So Saturday's game, basically, for us now, is a bit of a dead rubber. How do you kind of think that John McGlynn will prepare for it? Will he maybe rest players with the playoffs in mind, or will he just go with a strong kind of team?
I suspect he'll rest a lot of players with the playoffs in mind. I think mentally, that game on Saturday would have taken a lot out of the players. Certainly hearing afterwards, the boys were all gutted, you know, absolutely in bits, going back up to the hospitality at Hampden. But I think he'll rest kind of the key players. I think the likes of Stephen McGinn will be dropped. He might bring in Jordan Allen. You know, he might make a few changes, bring in Ola Lawal. Just guys that are pushing on the bench, because we've got a really strong bench this season. It's been one of the things with Falkirk, there's options on the bench this season, which has been great. So I think he'll utilise that with the playoffs in mind. But I think it's really important that we get a good result going into, you know, the playoffs and try and pick up a bit of form. We obviously beat Alloa, but I think with that loss there on Saturday, I think we need to go into the playoffs with a big one under our belts.
And making sure you're not picking up any silly injuries or anything like that as well.
Yeah, exactly. So,
because there's nothing worse than going into a big game and you're going to miss out a player that could turn the tie for you.
I know. So, but yeah, I think Steve McGinn will get rested. I think, you know, I would suspect kind of big changes on Saturday, but we'll wait and see.
And you'll want to try and win 4 out of 4 against Peterhead as well.
Well, that's it. And I'm sure you guys wouldn't mind just finishing the season with a wee win, you know, because they've been few and far between for you guys this season.
Few and far between. Is it a bit of an understatement with all the threes? But you never know. As I said, you guys may be rest players. We might be looking at next season as well. So it could be a multitude of changes for both sides.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I guess you're in the same position as us, that I guess Ryan Strachan and Jordan Brown, I'll take it as a kind of free hit and just try some guys that maybe I haven't been getting a game.
So will you expect a good crowd coming up the road, do you think, or will it be maybe again just an eye on the playoff?
I don't know. I've got a funny feeling. I think if we had won there on Saturday, we would have taken a good crowd, just keep the momentum going. But I've got a funny feeling. I mean, it's last game of the season, but because we've got the playoffs, I don't know if there will be a massive travelling support. I mean, we maybe take a good few hundred up, I would suspect, as ever, but maybe 300, maybe 400, maybe. But I suspect it will be not as well attended as it would have been if we had won there on Saturday.
And regardless of the result, obviously we're going to be in different divisions next season. Will you miss your trips up north?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I love as lovely as Peterhead is, Colin. I think the distance and just getting there, I don't think we'll miss it much.
Right, well, you know how it is for us every week or every second week.
Exactly.
So just coming to the end, what are your kind of expectations for next season? Do you think if you do go up, is it possible to, you know, push up higher end of the table, or do you think realistically
the
case of just building?
If we are to get up through the playoffs, and it's a big if we do get up through the playoffs, I think next season will be a transition season, and I think it'll be a case of aiming for that mid table. You know, try to sneak into the playoffs, and I think I think when you saw that game on Saturday, I didn't think there was much of a big difference between, I think, the lower end of the Championship and the top of League One. I don't think there is much of a difference, but that kind of upper echelons, we played Dundee, we played Inverness, who were going into that game with amazing form. there was, you know, there was a difference. There was a clear difference in terms of what was happening on the park. I think when you're playing the kind of lower end of the championship, it's not as evident. But yeah, I think to go up, I think a year kind of transition season, get, you know, I think he still needs, there's players that we've got playing for us that I don't think are even championship class. So I think he'll turn around the squad again in the summer if we go up. I mean, certainly the cup run will have helped with finance side of things. So yeah, next season transition, if we're up in the championship, and we'll wait and see where we go. But if we could sneak the playoffs next season, I think that'd be a big one.
And does it bear thinking about not going up?
It doesn't bear thinking about it. I mean, it's going to be a tough task. You know, the playoffs always are. It's a mini season in itself when you've got those four games laid out in front of you. Especially, like I say, if we meet Airdrie, I do worry about Airdrie. Just, but again, I'm quite happy their form's dropped off a wee bit in the last couple of games. But I don't want to even think about it, because there'll certainly be a backlash from the support. But the thing is, we need to just stick with the manager. We need to, you know, we need to keep going, because there have been improvements. And then hopefully next season, if we were to stay down, whoever's coming down or whoever's, you know, if it's just the league as is, we are. I mean, Queen of the South, we know, will be stronger next season under Marvin Bartley. Airdrie will be there and thereabouts. And then we'll wait and see what happens if it's Hamilton, Arbroath or Cove that were to come down. You always fear for the light. You've seen Queen of the South, when they come drop down the league, they struggle a wee bit. So fingers crossed, if we were to stay down, which I hope we don't, I hope we'll stay with the manager and we'll have a good season next season and hopefully win the league.
And how have you found the podcast? I think it's just your first season with the podcast, is it?
This has been our first season doing Folk at Daft, and we've fairly enjoyed it. I mean, we've been, you know, it's been, like you say, we've had a lot of highs this season with the cup run, and, you know, we've had the odd, like, Craig McGuffey's go, and there's been a lot of highs, and we've really enjoyed doing the podcast season, because there was nothing like this ahead of us doing this, you know, a weekly podcast for Falkirk Sports. And as we know, you know, we've got one of the biggest supports outside the Premier League, and mm-hmm. Someone sent me the statistics actually on the attendance now after Dundee and Dunfermline. We're the third biggest club outside the Premier League. You know, I suspect we've actually probably got bigger attendances than some of the clubs in the Premier League. So yeah, it's been really, really enjoyable. Really enjoyed doing it, and we'll go again next season, I think.
Well, John, thoroughly enjoyed speaking to you over the course of the season. Wish you well next season. Wish you well with the podcast next season as well. But enjoy your cup, mate. Sadly, unless we get a cup draw next season, I don't think we'll be talking to each other over the podcast. But as I said, pleasure talking to you over the season.
No worries, Colin. Same way.
So that is it for this week. We do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks to John McAnally from the Falkirk Daft podcast for joining me, and to Martin Smith for his thoughts as always. Thank you everyone for listening, and for your comments and questions, please keep them coming in. I've been Colin Byers. Martin and I will be back again next week, so until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.